Before we get started, on a personal note, I know everybody's been praying for my wife, Jamie, and I just appreciate your prayers. We both do so very, very much. The doctors can only do so much. The healing's in God's hands. You know, they can remove the cancer, but the rest of it's up to God. And God has been very gracious. Everything has come back negative, no further cancer. So we appreciate your prayers so very much, and we just want you guys to know that. Well, I didn't even have a title for this sermon yet until this morning. Couldn't figure it out. And then I heard a commencement speech, which gave me this title. It's God Called Us to Be Great. Here we are on the first days of Unleavened Bread. We just had Passover a couple days ago, in which we took a really good look at what Christ did for us. It was no small thing, not at all. We're going to turn to Isaiah 52 first, and verses 14 and 15. Isaiah 52, 14 and 15. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told to them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. You know, these two scriptures really do say a whole lot. You know, besides Christ being disfigured more than any person ever. The next verse, you know, the rulers of this world will see him and they will hold their tongue. Even though they haven't heard of Christ. And they will consider the things that he has said, he says, even though they never heard it before. What a powerful statement that is. Isaiah in chapters 52 and 53, for me, are a must-read this time of year. God has a plan for us all. I'm sure many of you have heard the expression, Christ did it all for us now, so we don't have to do anything because Christ did it all. You know, in many respects, that statement's kind of true, but it's not the whole truth. The truth is, Christ did so much for us, but we have something to do. And that's what these days picture. And it's a lifelong job that we have to do. And that is to put sin out of our lives, to walk a different path, take a road less traveled, so to speak. Some of us have been on this journey a long time. And every year during this holiday season, we are reminded to stay the course and to keep working. You know, there has been times when I really wish that the above statement that God did everything for me was true. You know, it gets difficult sometimes. But Christ didn't do that. And that's for our benefits. You know, as human beings, the number one way that we learn is by doing something. So God gives us something to do. You know, there's just times when we just kind of need to jump in with both feet. I don't know if everybody's familiar with that expression, but we just jump in with both feet. We have this playbook right here, the Holy Bible. And yes, we will fail. Yes, we will fall short. And when we do, we will be able to ask Christ to give us a hand up and help us do it better. That's what he wants for us. He was our mentor. We have to learn how to do it better. This is how we learn. You know, there was a Thomas Edison. One of his most famous quotes on failure is, "I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that don't work." But just as Thomas Edison didn't quit, neither should we. In Romans 6, we'll read in verse 10 and 11. Romans 6, 10 and 11. "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in Christ our Lord, to God in Christ our Lord." You know, we all have elephants in the room in our personal lives. And what I mean by this is my biggest elephant, I look at him every morning whenever I brush my teeth. You know, there are times when I fall miserably short. But I have to pull myself up. Why? Because I want to do better. I really do. I heard a commencement speech, and the one thing he said, "Don't settle for good, for being good, when you can be great." You know, God called us to be great. It is our job, according to what these days picture, to chisel away at the elephant in the room, me, and to live our lives to God and Christ our Lord. You know, brethren, my elephant is smaller than it was 10 years ago. 10 years from now, I would like to be able to say it's gone. It won't be. But I'm going to keep chiseling away at it, and hopefully it'll be smaller. And with God's help, it will be smaller. And as in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering to sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." It pleased God to bruise him, his son. What a statement. It really is. You know, we are the workmanship of Christ, the seed. You know, Philippians, I'll get it out, 1 verse 6, it says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." We can have confidence that the work Christ started in us, he will finish. In 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8, we read, "Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Let's put out the old leaven, brethren. Let's feed on the unleavened bread of Christ, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God did not call us to be mediocre. He called us for greatness. So let us use these days to strive for greatness.